बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are in which theme number? 16th chapter, verse number 39. Okay. This is over? Yeah, we were discussing about this. Yeah, correct. Just one point was not discussed in this title, which is, please read the theme again. Theme.
Even a man with material desires is inclined to associate with Supreme Lord, is freed from material rebirth, as fried seeds do not produce plants.
The first part already we discussed. I showed you that was Satyam Dishati Artita Artitornanam. That was. So, that verse says two very important things we learned. One thing is, it's not that Lord does not award material benedictions to his devotees. If somebody says, no, Krishna only, gives you spiritual benefit, he doesn't give you any material benefit, that's wrong. Krishna also gives material benefits. He gave to the fruit vendor lady, he gave to Sudama Brahmana, he gave a beautiful body to Kubja, and Lord can give material wealth. But there's a big difference between receiving wealth from Krishna and receiving wealth from demigods. Anybody remembers? What is one very important difference, S. Prabhu?
The hankering is purified when Krishna gives the benediction, whereas in case of demigods, hankering goes on increasing.
Actually, in the case of Krishna, the devotee who receives material gift becomes satisfied. Whereas in the case of demigods, when they give material benefits, the hankering increases. Therefore, the demigod worshippers, because of increased hankering, they become more and more greedy, and due to their excessive greed, they are destroyed. Whereas Krishna's devotees, material desires are, when material desires are fulfilled, devotees become completely satisfied with whatever Krishna gives. And another second point was mentioned, what is the scientific mechanism behind Krishna's ability to satisfy some fellow with material desires? Because material desire by nature is like itching in the body. The more you itch, the more you want to itch. So how is it that Krishna gives somebody material benediction and keeps them quiet? And there is a secret for that. Who knows the secret? Yes. Give the mic to him. Krishna gives the shelter of his lotus feet, which is very nectarian. When a devotee after receiving the material benediction, some of you may not have been there in the Krishna Rasayanam. I was telling this past time a fruit vendor lady. A fruit vendor lady, after giving fruits to Krishna, she saw her basket was filled with gold and silver and diamond and everything, which she didn't notice. She just took the basket on the top of her head, and while walking, she suddenly noticed that it is very heavy. What is it? Then she put it down and saw it was filled with diamonds and rubies and Navaratnas and jewels and everything, and shining in different colors. So if anybody would see that, they would feel delighted. Whereas when the fruit vendor lady saw that, she cried out loudly. She cried and said, just look at this, Lord has given me this material wealth and cheated me of his permanent association. Like that she said. So as soon as she reached home, she threw that all this wealth in one corner of the room, again filled the basket with fruits, and return back to Krishna, so that she can have continued association with Krishna, you see. So, how many of you remember Parampuja Raghunath Maharaj told this story last yatra, correct, na? He told that. Of course, there was no time to give purport to this, so Maharaj didn't elaborate, but he told this story, he told that. So, the purport is this, there are two points in this fruit vendor lady story. One point is, one who associates with Krishna always stands to gain. He never loses anything. She went to Krishna to and gave him fruits, but Krishna gave her millions of rupees worth jewelry in exchange for the fruits. Can you imagine? Similarly, chipped rice was given by Sudama, and in return, what Sudama got? He got a big house with hundreds of servants and servant maids. So, which means Krishna is such a lord who takes little and gives a lot. Because, you know, we only have two hands to give him, but he has got Vishwarupa hands, millions of hands to give us back. So, he takes little and gives a lot. That's one lesson we learn. And the second lesson we learn is, but once Krishna gives like that, a devotee loses taste for the pale and petty material pleasures. Devotee loses by coming in contact with Krishna. You know that the story of that Bhagat, Daku Bhagat, huh? You know, he went to Vrindavan. He actually went to steal Krishna, correct? Steal Krishna's all the jewelry and everything. But the result of touching Krishna, and actually that fellow fed some banana or something to the Krishna, and that he thought, when the child is eating banana, I will steal his jewelry. So when Krishna accepted the banana and eating, this fellow came to steal jewelry. And Krishna stopped him. He said, no. My Maya will ask, you know, where is the jewelry? He said. So at that time, when he touched Krishna's hand, he fainted unconscious. And then when he got up, he lost all taste for stealing the jewelry. Because Krishna is the Divya Ratnam. He became attracted. In the same manner, the fruit vendor lady also, second lesson we learn is, she lost a taste for making money and living in affluence, but her greed for loving and serving Krishna increased. So she again carried fruits and ran back to Krishna again, you see, again to give him more. So in this way, the devotee of the Lord becomes, he falls in love with the Lord so deeply that he forgets everything else in that relationship. He wants, like we were telling in the morning, Nivritta Gunavritta, correct, no? Like that. So therefore, see, the word is used as, fried seeds do not produce plants. Like a fried seed does not germinate at all. Similarly, what happens? Our kamakarma bijas in our mind, they all are fried when one comes in close touch with Krishna. So again, what is that mechanism? What makes it happen? Actually, by coming in association with Krishna, the smaranam of Krishna will increase, even in his absence also. After, if one has seen Krishna once and then Krishna has gone away, the repeated remembrance of Krishna, the repeated longing to meet Krishna, the pangs of the feelings of separation from Krishna, the remembrance of Krishna's beauty, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's kindness, Krishna's tenderness, all these things floods the heart of the devotee. And these things act as a fire to fry the seeds of Kama Karma Bija. Therefore, the Kama Karma Bija is finished. Therefore, that verse says, you know, Gopya Kamat Bhayat Kamso Dveshat Chaidya Andaya Nrupa. What is that? Sambandhat Prishnayah Snehat Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. So, there are five types of relationships that the Lord is mentioned in that verse. Gopya Kamat, Bayat Kamso, Dveshat, all those five things. And they all actually had a continued remembrance of Krishna, due to which they became freed from any material component. So, we all have a material component, spiritual component. When spiritual component becomes magnified, then that burns down the material component. Just like I told you, in a firewood, there is fire which is dormant. But if you put more and more water on the firewood, can the fire come out? So putting water means increasing sense gratification, wetting the firewood. A wet firewood cannot burn. But if you dry the firewood, that is vairagya, we call it, vairagya vidya. And then when you lit fire, when the fire comes, that is like increasing spiritual component. If fire is spiritual component and wood is metal component, the spiritual component burns down the material component. That is the mechanism here. Somebody goes with material desire, like Dhruva goes with material desire, but his spiritual component became so powerful, all the material desires were vanquished, they were destroyed. And all that remained was love for Krishna, finally. Like that. That doesn't mean when you get love for Krishna, you have to be a beggar. After getting love for Krishna, a devotee can get whatever is necessary for serving Krishna. A devotee may be given a big bungalow, like we are living in a very opulent big palace of Krishna. Krishna is living in a palace, we are also allowed to stay there, sit in the morning and take part in the programs. So you don't have to necessarily live in a jhopadi or something because you only have love for Krishna, nothing else. So one who has love for Krishna has everything. Everything needed for devotional service. So it's very great science it is. Let us go to the... That was what number verse was it? Yeah. So keep reading the translations further.
40 onwards.
Yeah.
40.
Yeah, 40th, yeah, 40th.
O unconquerable one, when you spoke about Bhagavata Dharma, which is the uncontaminated religious system for achieving the shelter of your lotus feet, that was your victory. Persons who have no material desires, like the Kumaras, who are self-satisfied sages, worship you to be liberated from material contamination. In other words, they accept the process of Bhagavad Dharma to achieve the shelter at your lotus feet. Being full of contradictions, all forms of religion...
No, this 40th, you can read the theme.
Taking to Krishna consciousness and bringing fallen souls to Krishna consciousness is victory for Lord Krishna.
Yeah, that is given there. If you see the translation, Bhagavata Dharma is given. It is an uncontaminated religious system for achieving shelter. And persons who have no material desires, like Kumaras, they accept the process of Bhagavata Dharma and achieve shelter of lotus feet. So Prabhupada writes about it. You read the purport. In the next page, if you see, after the Rishikena, Rishikesh Seva and Bhakti Ruchita, that was, go 3-4 lines below, after the translation, this is also called Bhagavad Dharma. Then, without material aspirations, one should simply serve Krishna, as advised in Gita, Narada Pancharatra, Shrimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Dharma is the process of religion enunciated by pure devotees, direct representatives of the Supreme Lord, like Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, and their humble servants. Who are the humble servants? Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, all the others, in the disciple succession. By understanding Bhagavata Dharma, one immediately becomes free from material contamination. Living in a disorder, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, or loitering in this material world, suffering, when they are instructed by the Lord Himself about Bhagavata Dharma, they adopt it. That is the victory for the Lord. It's called Vishwa Vijayaya. If you put in Bhagavatam, you will get the word Vishwa Vijayaya. Vishwa Vijayaya means the Lord created the material world for liberating living entities to take them back to Godhead. So devotees assist him in doing that work, then it's victory for the Lord. See, just like when for India-Pakistan match is happening, one country wins, other loses, no? Similarly, Prabhupada is saying that our preaching mission is Krishna's party, Vishnu party. Prabhupada says that in some places. How many of you remember reading it? Prabhupada says Vishnu party. We are in which party? Vishnu party. Other party is Asuric party, which is materialistic people, their party. So what are materialistic people trying to do? Increase materialism more and more. Our Achyutakeshapu is here. Achyutakeshapu, yeah, he was telling, he went to Science City. You can tell a little bit what you told me. Let others also hear. After that, give the mic to him. So he will tell something about materialistic party, what the demons party, what they are doing, he will tell.
Hare Krishna. Yes, I was sharing with Prabhuji. So last week when we were in Calcutta Yatra, so one day we had gone to Science City with my family. So in the Science City they had one particular section where they speak about origin of life. So you have to take a tour in a boat, and it's a very, it's like a virtual reality show. So you pay some rupees and you go through it. And when we were going through it, we saw that it was very well animated with a lot of graphics and everything. And they were completely speaking about this Darwin theory. So when we were going, there were different sections, and there was a big on this TV screen. So on the screen there was a photo of Darwin where he was speaking, and he was telling that how first of all there were some reactions, and from reactions how life came, and then how dinosaurs came. And as in this whole journey there were a lot of dinosaurs, and with all 3D modeling everything. And in every section we had this Darwin Baba was there, and he was speaking. So he was speaking on the video. So the whole thing, if one goes through that full half an hour of ride, one will be completely convinced that whatever Darwin says, how life came, because we have heard in scriptures. After doing that journey, I was thinking that how they are cheating everyone like that. So I was sharing it, Prabhuji, that how.
Yeah, and he said government is spending money for it. Government is giving support for running the science city. It's a huge, crores of rupees they must have spent for making it. So now for spreading atheism, government is giving crores of rupees. You can see this. And I was telling, after hearing this, some of our devotees should go and see it. And in Mayapur or somewhere, we should make similar type of boat. Now you go in boat and Prabhupada comes and cuts the nose of Darwin. Then Darwin will say, pram, 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 cut the nose. Isn't it? And then Prabhupada will establish it. Show me, where is, how can life come from chemicals? We can do that, no? Powerful it will be. And we will show how the actual living forms, how they come. You show how the Lord sends Brahma, the primary creation, secondary creation, everything should be made. Although it will involve some money and time and, you know, a team of devotees. So, any devotees want to form a team and go and see and give a suggestion to Mayapur? Anybody? So, we will make a team of 4 or 5 devotees. Because sometimes these ideas are very nice to see from a distance. Sabash, very nice. But if we are implementing, we need. Anybody? 4 or 5 devotees, we will make 1 leader. One is our Rajakrishna Prabhu, enthusiastic, isn't it? Who else? Of course, he is ready to be part, yeah. Achyutakesha Prabhu also, okay? Anybody else among the devotees? All have, here, Keval Prabhu also. Is it? Actually, when I went to Delhi, Swaminarayan, they have the Charak Samhita and all this, Ayurveda and Aryabhata, they show all that, but they are not smashing Darwin. Especially we should smash Darwin. That's very important. Because we can tell good things about the Vedas and everything, but two things about the origin of universe and origin of life, for establishing it, we should make. Of course, I am not saying that you all have to prepare everything and give, but what I am saying is, we should watch what they are doing, and at least something similar we should try to make for this con. Because Mayapur, they are spending 500 crores. If they spend another 5 crore or 10 crore, we have to make exhibits. Because purpose of making temple is not for pious people to come and clap hands and go. You know, especially many educated people across the globe will come. So if, and they have place also, you know. We should do that. So, therefore I told you, there is Vishnu party, there is Dayana Asura party. Asuric party. You know. So, these two parties are always there in this world. That's why his name. So, there is Bhagavad Dharma party. In case you catch one of the fellows whom the asuras are keeping in their, like all the colleges and schools and companies are keeping in their clutches, you know, millions of jivas, poor jivas who are innocent. If anybody can knock out one of the jivas and bring them to Krishna's party, and that fellow starts wearing tilak, kantimala, sometimes the whole family comes to Krishna consciousness, you know, chanting, dancing. That means you have defeated the army of asuras, correct now? They are defeating and bringing. That's what Prabhupada is saying. And Prabhupada was a very great commander-in-chief in the Senapati Bhakta, isn't it? How much can you imagine going to America and shaking a materialistic country? Shaking and making devotees there. Nowadays they are saying in America making devotees is very difficult, because we need one more Prabhupada to come there. The Prabhupada has to make a second visit now. Because when I was talking to my spiritual master, he was telling that ISKCON has to make some larger scale plan to do preaching in America, because Prabhupada's name is what? Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarane. If you don't make any devotee in Paschatya Desh, then Prabhupada's name will be disreputed. Then you'll have to change it. Bharata Desha Tarane it will become. Because in Bharat there is a lot of devotees coming up now. But we have to make in Paschatya Desh. It's very important. So very powerfully, the nose cutting is very important of the asuras. It's very important. Therefore, we should never fear to present the truth. If you are too timid to present the truth, people will never come to know what the truth is. See, Prabhupada says, Prabhupada used to say, here are the chemicals. You say, from chemicals life came, why don't you produce life now? And the scientist said, that we cannot say. And Prabhupada said, the chicken is a better scientist. Silently a chicken, one egg it puts. And from the egg comes another chicken. He doesn't talk much. Without talking, he produces. And you guys are talking and writing books and you can't produce one mosquito from the chemicals. Like that, Prabhupada was very powerful. You see? So, that's what he is writing here. Read that one, 20th theme again. 20th.
Taking to Krishna consciousness and bringing fallen souls to Krishna consciousness is a victory for Lord Krishna.
Yeah. So, our ISKCON temples are like a battalion. In a battalion, you will see the soldiers are given food, they are given uniform, belt and shoes and cap and everything. And left, right, left, they are trained. Correct, no? So, in the 3.30 Bhagavad Gita shloka, if you read, the purport Prabhupada writes, the Krishna consciousness movement is like somewhat like a military discipline, Prabhupada writes. Like military people, morning do left, right, left they do. Instead of that, we do samsara dhavana, all we sing. You know, Mangalarati, Narsingarati, Tulsiarati, all that we sing. And the military people have a diet which is favorable for keeping oneself brisk and alert in the war. Not that they eat food and go to sleep. So devotees also should eat moderately, mitabuk. And then the soldiers go out. One time in India-Pakistan war was happening from Pune battalion. Big crowd of soldiers were going. Some of them came to our temple to pray to Kunjabihari and then they were going. Similarly, our devotees should be ready to go to any part of India. If there is a danger in the border, they call for BSF. They take these soldiers there. Similarly, anywhere you have to go in any part of India and do service. One should be ready, you see. One should be willing to go and render service. And like, and what service have we got to do? This is the one. We have to bring victory for the Lord. Like Hanuman went to Lanka and brought victory for Ram by chanting, Jai Shri Ram, isn't it? Correct, no? Similarly, Arjuna brought victory for Lord Krishna in the Mahabharata war. So every one of us, we have a duty to bring victory for the Lord. And Prabhupada is saying, in practical terms, what is the victory? Like marathon is coming now. See, we distributed 1.5 lakh last year. This year, imagine, where is Amya Masunpo? Where is he? Yeah. Amya Masunpo is not here, no? So I was telling him, we should make it three. Like Sarvalakshan Prabhu, Amya Masunpo. I told them to make plans. We should distribute 3 lakh books. So that is a victory for the Lord, correct, no? Now, instead of that, if you reduce the number of books, we are bringing failure for the Lord. So, we are actually Lord's workers. So, we have to, why are we giving up everything and joining this movement? So that we can bring victory for the Lord. So, one devotee wrote an article in BTG. Srila Prabhupada converted a part of the material energy into spiritual energy. That's what he wrote. That is a beautiful article. So, he went to America and that's material energy. He converted into spiritual energy in many portions because huge number of devotees were produced at that time. So, that is victory for the Lord, you see. So, let's go to the next one. Yeah, 41. Read it.
Being full of contradictions, all forms of religion, but Bhagavad Dharma.
See, Prabhupada says, in the war between Prahalad and Hiranyakashipu, Prahalad always wins, he says. The war between Kamsa and Krishna, Krishna won, like that he says. Similarly, Prabhupada says, similarly ISKCON has also waged a war against Maya. So, the war between Maya and Krishna, Krishna will always win. Therefore, Param Vijayate. Yeah. So, this word Vijay is used in many places. Tato Jayam Udire. See, those are readers of Bhagavatam, they are victorious. Similarly, those are chanting the holy name, they are victorious also. Similarly, Yajantihi, those who are following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are the most intelligent. He is saying, Krishna Jai Bhaje, Sai Bada Chatur. So, that means worshippers of Krishna and Chaitanya are called intelligent. And when they perform chanting of the holy name and recitation of Bhagavatam, they are called victorious. You can see that. Actually, these are not our own statements. Just because we like to be encouraged, we make our own statements. These are Shastric statements. Correct, no? So, let's proceed to the next one. Read it.
being full of contradictions.
Now he has told regarding Bhagavad Dharma. Now what is Bhagavad Dharma? It's a love of God. Morning also we talked. You remember beta I was telling? That beta formula that talks about Bhagavad Dharma, that's the essence of Bhagavad Dharma it is. The Lord, the devotee and the loving relationship. That is the essence of Bhagavad Dharma. So, till now he has explained that. Now the next verse is going to explain about what is not Bhagavad Dharma and in comparison to Bhagavad Dharma he will say. Read it.
Being full of contradictions, all forms of religion but Bhagavad Dharma work under the conception of fruitive results and distinctions of you and I, yours and mine. The followers of Srimad Bhagavatam have no such consciousness. They are all Krishna conscious, thinking that they are Krishna's and Krishna is theirs. There are other low-class religious systems which are contemplated for killing the enemies or the
killing of enemies
or the gain of mystic power. But such religious systems, being full of passion and envy, are impure and temporary. Because they are full of envy, they are full of irreligion.
Yeah. Like, you know, some people go to some tantrics and try to create trouble for some distant relatives and all. You know that? They send some betal or something to attack them. Or they put some lemon, some mirchi, black magic they use. So is it a good religion? Bad religion, because they want to trouble somebody. They chant some mantras for that and bring trouble for them. Similarly, he is saying some religions involve killing of animals. Like I told you, in my native place, when I used to go to my polytechnic, I used to go through one Mariamman temple. Mariamma means Durga temple. One day, I used to go there, stand outside and pray and go. One day when I went in my cycle there, I was shocked. The entire atmosphere was, everywhere there were cocks, you know, and hens. They were cutting the head. They were making sounds. Different people, there were actually 30-40 people catching one cock and cutting. They were offering bali to Kali. That was the last day I went there. I ran away from there immediately. It was some festival for them. For them, festival means cut. In those days, one yellow brigade, one devotee joined our ashram. Now he is not here. He has gone back to his village. So in his village, he was telling, they feed 10,000 people once in a year. There's a big, some Kali festival they have. And they kill 2,000, 3,000 goats. They cut. So he was telling, the whole village was full of goats and everywhere the goats are being cut. It's horrible it is. So what kind of religion is it? These are all very violent religions, invasive religions. Similarly, people cut the goats, people cut cows, people kill chickens. Some foolish people even give Narabali also. Prabhupada talks in that this thing, Jadabharata, there he says that. See, there is one principle, the Karmakanda principle, that if you conduct a Karmakanda sacrifice, you can get material benefits out of it. We are increasing material benefits. So for that people kill so many living entities like this. So of course in Karmakanda properly done with proper brahmanas and everything, the animal gets a human body. But most people who kill, the animal doesn't get a human body because their procedure is, you know, not Vedic and proper. So that is also violent religion. So these type of religions are condemned here. They are actually opposed to Bhagavad Dharma. Now, for example, some people have a Kula Guru and they go to some distant mountain cave to meet a Guruji and they may give some donation, offer obeisances and come back. They may not have any knowledge they may receive from him. Correct, no? But sometimes certain religious gurus also, they teach enmity to other religions. Like in one of the religions, they say, they tell their people, if you become a live bomb, and go and put a bomb in the temple or put some bomb to somebody else, then after death you will go to heaven, where you will enjoy many apsaras and you will drink wine and you can lead a very happy life. So some people foolishly become a live bomb because of that. So such religious leaders are also to be condemned. Correct, no? Because that's envious religion. Correct? So envious religion means, you know, they think Our religion is the only religion. All other religions are bogus. They are demoniac. Even when Prabhupada was conducting Ratayatra in America, there were some Christians who were having banners, you know, stop this, you know, festival, leave America and go back to India, like that. Some people they were afraid of Prabhupada. Yeah? Therefore, Prabhupada had to be given very high level security. Because they understood this Swamiji is very powerful Swami. Very dangerous Swamiji. He is wholesale converting whole America only. If you leave this fellow for some more time, it seems all Christians will become Hare Krishna only. They were shouting slogans and putting slogans in Prabhupada when the Ratayatra was going on also. So, of course, those Christians thought Prabhupada has come to convert. But Prabhupada clearly said, you know, my teachings will make Christians better Christians. And in case they want to chant Hare Krishna, they can chant. So every religious reformer who wants to bring about peace, happiness and law and order in society, as well as to give a connection to God to the people, he has the freedom to preach. Anywhere he can preach. Of course, there are some fundamentalist religions like Muslim and all. They will say, if one person gets converted, they'll kill him. So therefore, even our Prabhuji was telling now, when he came here, Kavikarna Purpur was telling, in their country, one section is Muslims and another section is Christians. So Muslims area, they don't go to preach at all. Because the person who preaches will be killed and the person who wants to get transformed will be killed, both. they're very closed. It's a very animalistic type of approach, correct, no? Keeping people, there is no freedom given. But in the other section, Christians, there is freedom for them to hear from different people. So, which means they have chance to evolve to higher levels, you know, higher levels. But Prabhupada was very honest. He gave and he allowed the people to. Prabhupada actually wanted to emphasize on love of God, even if they practice their own religion also. Become a true Christian, Prabhupada said. Actually, Bhagavata Dharma is a very amazing type of religion because it teaches love of God, which is unmotivated, uninterrupted. And according to this Bhagavata Dharma, you should love every jiva. You cannot hate anyone. In fact, if you hate anyone, it is like hating God, because everyone is a child of God. Correct, no? So, you can't say that, you know, you call somebody and say, I love you very much, and you take a scissor and, you know, cut his finger. You know, I don't like your finger, but I like you very much. Can you say that? Similarly, part cannot be hated, claiming that you love the whole. So, Bhagavad Dharma is very universal and very powerful, irrespective of caste, creed, color, nationality. Not only you love humans, you love even animals, birds, insects, reptiles, everybody. It is all encompassing. So compare such a benevolent, therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, you know, never in the past or never in the future there shall be any religion like Bhagavata Dharma. And there never in the past or future can there be any benevolent personalities like the followers of Sriman Mahaprabhu, like that he said. Sriman Mahaprabhu's followers who are Vaishnavas, they are the most, we can say, non-threatening species on earth. So he said that they are like the most harmless species on earth, the Vaishnavas. Now think about the Vaishnava. You know, he doesn't cause harm even to an ant also. Correct, no? They don't cause harm even to an ant. And they are satisfied with little prasad. And their philosophy is what? They don't want bhog in this world, enjoyment in this world. They don't want moksha also. What they want? Krishna prema only. They want only service to the Lord. Service to the Lord and service to all His devotees. That's all they want. So therefore, in America, when Ratayatra first went, immediately the government arranged a lot of policemen ready. But the policemen later on came back and told, we were practically jobless. Because the devotees are so organized and well-behaved. We never had to use our lati. We never raised our lati also. Because there was no need. These are very well-conducted, well-trained people. They are very perfect gentlemen. They said, and later on, not only in America, in other places also people understood. Whenever there is a procession by devotees, Harinam, you know, there was never police sent. See, in Pune also there is a rule. If you are going to exceed 50, you have to get permission from police station. But not a single police has come to our Harinam till date. because they know that these people will never create trouble. Why police is required? Police is required only when they have to use the lathi, if somebody is creating trouble. But other devotees, what trouble will they create? Except the chanting of the holy name. Correct, no? So, it is because the Vaishnava species is the most harmless species. So why I am telling you all this? Even we have to appreciate Vaishnava species, correct, no? Correct or not? We are ourselves Vaishnava species. Huh? So, see, unless we develop a deep reverence and appreciation of Vaishnava lifestyle, we will not be able to confidently preach it. Huh? Like somebody saying, Prabhuji, that fellow is peacefully living with his mother, father, wife and children. They are watching movies, watching TV in the evening. They are very happy. Should you go and disturb them, Prabhu? Yeah. The moment you give mala, you know, they start wearing tila, kanti mala, they come inside and, you know, they'll become too serious. I said, okay, they'll become serious. Then what? Then what, Prabhuji? They have, then the TV will be gone, you know. Then there'll be a lot of problems in the family trying to make others devotee and everything. I said, see, that means you yourself are not convinced. Eh? Correct, no? Actually, the problem is inside this fellow, you see. You see, should you fear to make someone a devotee? If you fear to make someone a devotee, that means we ourselves are not proper devotees. Correct, no? Actually, the path of bhakti is anandam bodhivardhanam prati padam purna amrita swadam. At every moment it is amritam. So, therefore, that is Bhagavata Dharma. You completed the translation? Yeah. In the purport, go to the second paragraph. Read it.
If one is actually Krishna conscious, he cannot have any enemies.
Yes.
Since his only engagement is to induce others to surrender to Krishna or God, how can he have enemies? If one advocates the Hindu religion, the Muslim religion, the Christian religion, this religion or that religion, there will be conflicts. History shows that the followers of religious system without a clear conception of God have fought with one another. There are many instances of this in human history. But systems of religion that do not concentrate upon service to the Supreme are temporary and cannot last for long because they are full of envy. There are many activities directed against such religious system, and therefore one must give up the idea of my belief and your belief. Everyone should believe in God and surrender unto Him. That is Bhagavad Dharma.
Yeah, see, therefore, in case we want to go to school and teach value education also, if you really want to teach value education and make the children powerful children with character, then you know what kind of things we have to teach? We should teach things like the operator behind the cosmic creation. Then we should teach things like the man, nature and God. What is the relationship between these three? And Vasudha eva kutumbakam. How this whole world is one universal family with only one God in the center. You know? And how for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. For every action that you do, as you sow, so shall you reap. Correct, no? It's a very scientific thing. And we have to teach how God is all-knowing and He is completely independent. And like the words are used, Swarat is used, Abhignya. Abhignya means all-knowing. Swarat means completely independent. And how He is completely self-satisfied. So, and at the same time, we people, we are only children of God. We are not all-knowing. We have limited knowledge. And we have limited control. God is actually the supreme enjoyer, proprietor and controller. How it is? Scientifically, Prabhupada explained it. And we have to explain about the goal of life, the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and the difference between animal and human. How human beings are more civilized, and what humans can do which animals cannot do. Distinguishing between the two and explaining the tattva, importance of tattva jignasa, understanding the goal of life. So imagine if you teach, then like Prabhupada explains, in this way when you go stage by stage, when you take the, this is what Prabhupada taught when he went to America, if you see. Because these are all non-sectarian, these things. Because all religions talk about God is a personification of love, is a supreme father. So Prabhupada preached in a very non-sectarian way when he went to the West. Therefore Christians could immediately take it. And all religions actually talk about five things. Where am I? Where do I want to go? What processes I have to follow to go there? And what obstacles will come in my way when I am going up there? And lastly, what experience will I get after reaching there? So, whether it is Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, you can explain the same, you know. And Prabhupada explained very scientifically from Shraddha to Prem. Even for the newcomers, he explained. And also the chanting of the holy name, mantra, how it calms the mind. Nowadays, the students are suffering so much from the mind problems. So, if we frankly preach in the college, schools and all these things, actually we have to give the spiritual knowledge without compromise. Then only the values of children will change. Otherwise, if you teach them simple honesty, truthfulness, simplicity, it is like a cart without the horse. Because the horse is God and the cart is the cosmos. Actually, the God without the cosmos without God is like cart without horse. Correct, no? So, therefore, all the educational institutions which are teaching mundane subjects, they are practically dead. Prabhupada called them spiritual slaughterhouses. So, it's the duty of those who are aware of Bhagavad Dharma to reach this knowledge. Yeah. Prabhupada, even when he went to Ohio State University, Prabhupada would directly speak this kind of philosophy.
Yes. I had a question regarding that Vaishnavas being the non-violent species. Yes. So we come across this statement in 7th canto that Modeta Vrishchika Sarpahatya, that they are pleased. So I was thinking about this as you were telling.
Actually, Vaishnavas definitely will defend, but they will never offend. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj waged a war against Duryodhana on the order of Krishna. Otherwise, he never wanted the war. But that doesn't mean that Yudhishthira Maharaj and Pandavas did not protect themselves when they were put in Varanavat or when Bhima was fed with poison. So every jiva has the right to preserve themselves. It's called as the law of self-preservation. That is not considered as attacking anybody else. You are just saving yourself. Correct. Sometimes you may have to attack to save also. For example, if a woman is attacked by a man, balatkar is trying to molest a woman, according to Indian law also, a woman can kill him also if she has to save her reputation. So or she may attack him or slap him or whatever.
Like
one Mataji was wearing a gold chain in one of the train bogies. So it was a female bogie, all the Matajis. Somehow one man entered there. So he said, by mistake I have got into this, but I will go to the next bogie, in the next station, like that he said. So they all thought, okay, but this Mataji was standing. Suddenly this fellow put his hand and snatched her chain when the station was coming. No? He wanted to snatch it and run away. But this lady was so strong, she caught hold of his hand. And with her knees, she gave him kick on the belly. Boom, 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 like this. And that fellow fell on the ground. Correct, no? Of course, that fellow practically was fainted unconscious. And they took him to hospital and along with the chain also in the hand. You know, in Bombay. Anyway, no, the reason I told you was she was defending herself and she wanted to get the chain back. Correct, no? So that type of attack only Pandavas did. Pandavas actually never wanted to kill the Kauravas anytime. Only when Krishna ordered them to fight the battle, then they fought.
If you see that sloka, it says Modeta, the sadhu is pleased. Yeah, seeing that these two creatures are killed. Now, creatures also specifically
mentioned. Why they are pleased? Thank God. When Prabhupada went to an ISKCON temple, he went to the lavatory bathroom. There he found a snake. Then he came back and told the devotees, there's a snake inside, and then they killed the snake. Why they are happy? Thank God the snake did not bite a great Vaishnava. Because the snake bit a great Vaishnava, he would have lost Vaishnava. Instead of losing Vaishnava, he lost the snake. So they are happy. Correct, na? That happiness is not because, very good, we have killed the snake. That's not the happiness. Happiness is, oh, Vaishnava's life is saved. Therefore. And there also, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's matha, one snake came. Thank God, no. Imagine if the snake went into ashram and bit 4 or 5 brahmacharis. And all the fellows are tomorrow dead. Will you be happy? So all their lives are saved. The snake was captured and killed. So we feel happy. Otherwise, Vaishnava, in fact, one devotee asked my special master a question. Maharaj, when demons die, you know, should we be happy? Because Prahlad Maharaj says, Modita Sadarupi. Maharaj said, yes, you can be happy, provided you are non-envious. Like that he said. No? So, yeah, this para we read it. Yeah, there are many religions. Okay. And this is going to be explained more. See, 42 you go, I'll show you in the purport. 42, third line, read it. For example, there are many systems. Purport.
For example, there are many systems of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended. Such animal sacrifices are inauspicious both for the performer and for the animal. Although one is sometimes permitted to sacrifice an animal before the goddess Kali and eat it instead of purchasing meat from a slaughterhouse, permission to eat meat after sacrifice in presence of goddess Kali is not order of Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is simply a concession.
See, there's a difference between order and concession. Sarvadharman Parityajya is what? Yeah. Okay, you can eat meat. What is it? Concession. See, you understand the difference between the two, you know. Like all devotees should go for Haridam. That is order. In case somebody has got a wound in the knee or wound in the leg, okay, they can stay back. What is it? Concession. Papaji, I had a wound 2 months ago. Can I also stay back? Somebody says, no. You are not, that is only for those who are having wound right now. Huh? Correct. So I am saying you should know the difference between order and concession. But generally living entities, which one they will capture immediately? Yes. Like we say, Bhaktivedanta Vidyapitam, all of you should complete all the tests within the 4 days. And in case you cannot, at least within 1 week you have to submit. In case you cannot, in the 2nd week grace time will be given to you and within that you will submit. So living entities, what they will do? They will take advantage of the last week. Whatever the least concession and most concession you give, they take. What can we do? That's the material world. Eh? Yeah. See, I'll show you one more verse. What is that verse? See, there is one verse in the Divinity and Divine Service. The last part it comes, it says that the Vaishnavas don't worship very Ghora forms, Ghora Rupan. I got it. This is the verse. Mumukshavo Ghora Rupan.
Mumukshavo Ghora Rupan.
Hitva Bhutapati Natha. Narayana Kala Shanta. Bhajanti Hyana Suyavaha. See the word by word translation. Mumukshavaha. Persons desiring liberation. The Ghora Rupan Hitva. They reject the horrible, ghastly forms of Bhutapati, of the demigods. And Ataha. Narayana Kala Shanta. They worship only the Narayana Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, like Rama, Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna, such forms they worship. Shantaha, all blissful forms. Bhajanti, they worship. He Anasuyeva, but they are not envious of demigods also. See the translation, read it.
Those who are serious about liberation are certainly non-envious and they respect all. Yet they reject the horrible and the ghastly forms of demigods and worship only the all blissful forms of Lord Vishnu and his plenary portions.
I read them. Okay, we'll. One part I'll show you. Read this one. This one.
The separated parts and parcels have different positions in the estimation of material powers, and some of them are like Kala Bhairav, Smashana Bhairav, Shani, Mahakali and Chandika. These demigods are worshipped mostly by those who are in the lowest categories of mode of darkness or ignorance. Other demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Surya, Ganesh and many similar deities are worshipped by men in the mode of passion, urged on by the desire for material enjoyment. But those who are actually situated in the mode of goodness, Sattvaguna, of material nature, worship only Vishnu Tattvas. Vishnu Tattvas are represented by various names and forms such as Narayan, Damodar, Vaman, Govind, Adokshaja. The qualified Brahmanas worship the Vishnu Tattvas represented by Shaligram Shila, and some of the higher castes like Kshatriyas and Vaishyas also generally worship Vishnu Tattva. Highly qualified Brahmanas situated in the mode of goodness have no grudges against the mode of worship of others. They have all respect for other demigods, even though they may look ghastly, like Kala Bhairav or Mahakali. They know very
well. So that means ISKCON devotees also, when you go to Calcutta, you see Kali, like that she's standing. One should not criticize. And Krishna says, look at this Kali worshippers. Rupa says, Vaishnavas have no grudges. Because Kali is also Durga, who is one of the Shakti manifestations. She is assisting the Lord in Srishti Stiti Pradaya Sadhana Shakti Reka. Yeah. Read further.
They know very well that those horrible features of Supreme Lord are all different servitors of Lord under different conditions. Yet they reject the worship of both horrible and attractive features of demigods.
It's not that they reject only the horrible forms of demigods. Even there are attractive forms of demigods also. They may be handsome, there may be Skanda, Ganesha, there are many beautiful forms also. But they are not attracted. Because if you worship Skanda, Skanda is Muruga, they call in South India. If you worship him, he is only in charge of Devasenapati. Correct, no? He is the head of the army of Devatas. If you worship Indra, he is the chief of the demigods. So in this way, each of them is having some post in a small way, but they are not the supreme personality of Godhead. Yes?
And they concentrate only on the forms of Vishnu, because they are serious about liberation from material conditions. The demigods, even to the stage of Brahma, the supreme of all demigods, cannot offer liberation to anyone.
Yeah, then he's telling Hiranyakashipu, worship Brahma and he couldn't. So the Vishnu is called the Muktipada. Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnu Revana Samshaya. That's the point he's making. So nobody else can give liberation. So, And then he's saying in the next verse, Rajastama Prakritayaha Samashila Bhajanti Vai Pitrubhuta Prajeshadin Sri Aishwarya Prajep Savaha. Those who are in the mode of passion and ignorance worship those in the same category, namely the forefathers, other living beings, the demigods who are in charge of cosmic activities. For they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited with women, wealth, power and progeny. These are people with material desires. They worship the demigods. Like that is saying. And then they get more and more bound in the material world. And then he's saying here, you see, one should work hard and worship the Supreme Lord by the fruits of one's hard labor for existence. And that should be the motto of our life. See, after that this verse comes. Famous verse. Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paraman. See, Vasudeva is everything. So one should not worship anyone else. Vasudeva is the ultimate, one supreme, capital G-O-D. It's a very beautiful section it is. See, big purport, my Lord. Okay. Going back to our... So there is low-class religious system and Bhagavata Dharma. It's clear, no? So I gave many examples of low-class religious systems. Actually, low-class religious systems have a very limited understanding of God. Prabhupada went to Iran. There was one Mataji was there, one Prabhupada disciple. And Atreya Rishi Prabhu was the president there at that time. So when Prabhupada went to the hall, temple hall, he didn't find any deity at all. It was hot. The whole hall was empty. And there was a small platform on which the photo of Gauranitai was kept. Only like postcard size photo. Prabhupada offered obeisances to that photo. He offered. And he got up and said, why in the temple hall you have nothing? They said, no, Prabhupada. Please come with us, we will show you. Then they took him in the staircase upstairs. And there were Radha Krishna deities and Govardhan, big deities, very nicely. They said, Prabhupada, here many Muslims come for meditation downstairs, you know, the temple hall. So because in mosques, it's just empty, nothing is there. You have to just go there. So we have also kept it empty so that they can come into meditation. And then when the boys start chanting Hare Krishna, slowly we take them up. And then we show them, you know, we show them Radha Krishna and Govardhan. Then Prabhupada said, what kind of worship of God can they do in an empty room? With no understanding of the form of God. If you don't know whom are you loving, how can you love? Can you love the air? Can you love something impersonal? At that time Prabhupada very strongly preached about personalism and impersonalism. He said, first one should know who God is. And one should know what are the qualities of God. And what are the opulences of God. Otherwise how can you love Him? So, therefore, such religions actually have very, very, very primitive or narrow-minded understanding, like a frog in the well. And therefore, there are quarrels between religions. But here he says that Bhagavata Dharma is very broad religion, actually. Yeah. Next one, you read 43. 43 you read already.
My dear Lord, one's occupational duty is instructed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita according to your point of view, which never deviates from the highest goal of life. Those who follow their occupational duties under your supervision, being equal to all living entities, moving and non-moving, and not considering high and low, all are called Aryans. Such Aryans worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, what all the Aryans do? See, the Aryans do not deviate from Krishna, nor do they have doubts about Krishna. Prabhupada says in later part of the purport, this one. And also they strictly follow the principles of Bhagavata Dharma. And they live according to the instructions of Krishna, he is saying. So, Aryans are actually Vedic followers. They are ideal Vedic followers. They align with, they accept God, they align with God. They act on behalf of God, they act for the pleasure of God, and they also have no doubts about God, and they never deviate from God. So, six things I told you. I'll repeat again. All of you repeat. The six gives a clue of Aryans. Accepting God, or accepting Krishna, aligning with Krishna. Aligning with Krishna means what? Then following the instructions of Shastra, correct, no? Aligning Krishna. And acting for the pleasure of Krishna, acting on behalf of Krishna. Now who acts on behalf? Like the king, the mother, the father, the teacher, the executive leader. They all have to act on behalf of, you know, Krishna also. Acting on behalf of, like Indra, he has to act on behalf of Krishna. Any leader. And having no doubts about Krishna. That verse says, no, Yoma Meva. That is no doubt of Krishna. And never deviating from Krishna. Then you become Aryan. Now you have a clue what are the basic qualifications to become Aryan. Correct? No? See in the purport, the later part, Prabhupada is picking up some very important words. It is apritak diyaha. Apritakdiya, sthira, chara, sattva, kadambeshu, apritakdiya. Apritakdiya means what? Aryans do not distinguish between lower and higher grades of life. Pandita, samadarshana. They see all life to be protected. They see like that. So if you see the purport, somewhere in the middle of the purport, one paragraph, after 3-4 paragraphs, Aryans do not deviate from the instructions of Krishna, nor do they have doubts about Krishna. But non-Aryans and other demoniac people fail to follow instructions of Gita Bhagavatam. This is because they have been trained in sense gratification at the cost of all other living entities. Nunam pramata kurute. So this was therefore, next para purposes, this was therefore advises everyone become a member of Aryan civilization. Accept the instructions of Supreme Lord. One should conduct his social, political and religious affairs. So what is social? And who can say? Varnashrama. Brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprasanyas and We have Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So religious means Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Sorry, religious means Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. And social means Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, because it is according to psychophysical nature. You divide the society and they do activity, work. And political means the king should be Raja Rishi, guided by a board of Brahmanas. And the king should be God-centered and everything should be based on the scriptures. So the king should give protection, administration, welfare, everything based on Shastra. So that is the point. So I gave one heading. What the heading? Oh, that is the heading I gave. Aryans don't deviate from Krishna. So this is Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam. Who chastised like that? Whom to whom? Yeah, so in the Vedic times, if you call somebody Anarya, it's a big chastisement. Now you say somebody Anarya, they say, how did you understand perfectly? Anarya, they say, because people are living Anarya life. Many people don't know many basic things. Like, you know, one boy was asking, how you people have kept Vishnu outside the temple? You should keep it inside. Hey, whom he was thinking? Jai Vijay. He doesn't even know who are these people. He's thinking we're keeping God outside. People don't know. Therefore, the Kali Yuga has become very, very pathetic. Actually, even one good thing in our Vaishnava culture is if you become a devotee, Baba Grahi Janardana, Lord forgives many things. For example, when you come to temple, you should do only pradakshina. You should never walk apradakshina. You know, apradakshina means opposite. So, for example, you come in the lift. You can go into the temple hall. But from the lift, you cannot come like this and go there. But we all do that, correct? You know, correct? You understand what I'm saying? In case you want to go to the bookstall where Indra Prabhu is standing, you have to go how? Like this you have to go. And this is very strict in many of the traditional temples. If any pujari sees you going like this, you say, hey, you cannot do pradakshina, they will say. You cannot go. You have to do pradakshina only. You have to go around the rod like that. But why I am telling you these things? No, we may not know only such things. Similarly, in Balaji temple I saw there is the Garuda Stambha is there and there is the Bali Peetam there. Correct, no? Some people are going in between, you saw, no? They put a coin there. They are putting some superstitions there. People are going in between there. People don't know actually. Probably we have to put some kind of barricade or something there. But we in Kali Yuga age is a very degraded age because basic simple things may not be known to the people also. What are we supposed to do? A time may come in India when you take the arati line, people will ask you what to do. In America, first time when Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Prabhupada performed arati and told, please give arati to all hippies. All hippies were standing. When the devotees went and showed arati line, hippies were they were like blinking. And then Prabhupada had to tell them, you take it, you do like this, you'll be blessed. But when you take the arati, what is the arati lamp? The 5 weeks are the 5 senses, 5 jnanendriyas. You are offering jnanendriya along with the false ego ghee. You are evaporating the false ego, which is manifesting through the 5 senses, in service to the Supreme. So it's a purified lamp, which is glorifying the beauty of the Lord when you show like this. The Lord's beauty is highlighted to the public. So after that, when you take it, it's a mercy. And comes, you are supposed to take it and touch it to your eyes to get the spiritual vision in the eyes and touch it to the head to become totally blessed. When Prabhupada explained, then the hippies took it. But don't be surprised if India also people ask, what is this? Things are going so bad. So, where were we? Aryans, yeah. So we can become an Arya. Recently in ISKCON, we had in the leaders meeting, I was also there in one of the GVC and some leaders meeting. There was a big talk about the dress code in the temple. Almost 1 hour talk. So some devotees said, no, times have changed. People will come with Bermuda. You know Bermuda, no? People come with Bermuda and similarly, men and women, they come with very scanty dresses nowadays to the temple. What can we do? They said we can't control them. They're mostly IT people. they may not know this thing and all. But many of them spoke, no, if they don't know, we have to educate them. How to come properly dressed and everything. Like if you go to Gurudwara, there is some policy, you have to cover your head with a tie, with a cloth, they give you that. And you have to give your shoe for them to this thing also. Correct? No, they have some rules. Similarly, here also they said, in case a lady comes with very scanty dress, they will keep dress ready at the entrance. Yeah. They can take a dress, put it, go and take darshan, come back, give it back and go. They are going to do that. Yeah. They are planning now. In ISKCON, it's going to come. They are going to... Guruvayur, yeah.
Lungi only.
Of course, Guruvayur, you cannot wear the shirt.
No, down also should be lungi. Down also should be dhoti,
dhoti
or
yeah,
this
correct.
Thing. So outside there are shops.
They give.
They take from there, go and then they give it.
Correct. See, they are very traditional temples. When ISKCON makes, they will make a big hue and cry. Correct, no? They will say, you guys were preaching in the West and you come here and now you want to make too many strict rules. So we have to, no, the idea I am saying is, Aryan civilization means culture. When you say the food you eat, the dress you wear, the kind of dealings you do with one another, how you speak with one another, the attire, and the thinking, and how to show respect, all these things come in culture, you see. So Aryan culture, when you say. Like for example, you are supposed to treat every woman as a mother. Yeah, if a girl is younger than you, you treat her like a daughter. If she is elder, you treat her like a mother. Similarly, women treat the men. If men are elderly, they treat them as father. If a man is younger to them, they treat him as like a son. So these are all Aryan culture, powerful culture it is. How people should treat one another. Like if a father has, in a family, father has become very old, then the elder son becomes like the father of the other unmarried daughters. So these are all... Aryan culture has two parts. One part is the civilization and culture. Another thing is a strong Krishna-centered culture. Which means the focus on God. Therefore, Prabhupada is talking about Aryan. The whole purport, Aryans and non-Aryans. So, Aryans never deviate from Krishna at any cost. Wherever they may go, sometimes they may have to live in a remote place, they will, even there they will not give up their religious duties. They will very staunchly stick to the religion. So, ISKCON also like, for example, you go to a faraway place, or do you give up your 16 rounds? You still do your 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, wherever you may be. They never develop doubts about Krishna, he says. They have a very deep-rooted affection and faith in God. That's a real Aryan actually. Not that when you are with devotees, you have a lot of faith, and then when you are surrounded by non-devotees, you also start doubting. Actually, in the modern day educated boys I have seen, their faith is extremely weak because of too much bombardment from internet. Because internet has information explosion. They doubt everyone and everything. They doubt all the gurus, they doubt you, they doubt God, they doubt scriptures. They doubt everything except sense gratification. That's the only thing, because that is meant for the animals, that's the only thing they trust. Everything else they doubt. So I used to tell boys, okay, if you have no faith in me, you tell me whom you have faith in. Prabhuji, I am not able to put faith in anyone, except sense gratification. So, where can they go other than hell, tell me? Correct. Here also in one of the international schools they did that. No, it looks like it evolves one by one, so it looks very nice. So, many of the Hindu teachers also don't know. See, many of the Hindus don't know Darwin is wrong. They don't know. Actually, only ISKCON Prabhupada cut Darwin's nose very powerfully. But many Hindus also don't know how Darwin's theory is wrong. They don't know. Therefore, I was telling, we should make a very big exhibition. At least we can make a small exhibition in NVCC, isn't it? Very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Okay, let us go to the next one. 44.
My Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you. Not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your Lordship only once, even Chandalas, men of lowest class are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you?
Yeah, this is glorifying the holy name. He is saying, if somebody sees your beautiful form, then they become free from sins. But what is because of seeing you? Even if somebody chants the holy name, they also become free from all material contamination. That means this verse is glorifying holy name. Yeah, that same thing Prabhupada has mentioned in this thing. See, in the purport, if you see the last part of the purport, some 10 lines from the bottom, Prabhupada is saying that, okay, read that last para. Yan nama sakrit shravana, the holy name of the Supreme Lord is so powerful that if once heard without offenses, it can purify the lowest of men, kirata hona, the pulinda pulakasha, all that. Such men who are called chandalas are less than shudras, but they can also be purified simply by hearing of the holy name of the Lord. Not to speak of personally seeing the Lord. And then what is the meaning of seeing the Lord, Prabhupada explains. From our present position, Supreme Lord can be personally seen as the deity in the temple. Seeing the deity in the temple is as good as seeing Krishna face to face. There is no difference. The deity of the Lord is non-different from the Supreme Lord. Because we can't see Supreme Lord with our present blunt eyes, the Lord has kindly consented to come before us in a form we can see. Therefore, the deity in the temple should not be considered material. We are offering food to deity and we are decorating and serving the deity. One gets the same result that one derives from serving the Lord personally in Vaikuntha. That means if you serve Krishna in Goloka, or you serve Krishna here in Vrindavachandra temple, there is no difference. That's a very important point. Your pen, I want to underline the last line. It's very powerful. Very powerful statement. Therefore, we are already in spiritual world when we are in the temple actually. Powerful, powerful statement. Can read the theme.
Men of lowest class are freed from material contamination by hearing Lord's holy name.
Yeah. See, there is one problem when we hear such things like this. What is the problem? We have heard it so many times that we practically become sensitized, or we become insensitive to, we are unaffected by such glories. We become callous to such glories. Why? Because many times we have heard that, oh, by the holy name one is delivered. We don't even think about what it means also. We become very dull. Therefore, one should contemplate on such statements of the Shastra. Like we heard about, you know, some 5,000 years ago or some few thousand years ago. Of course, not 5,000 years ago. Many, many millions of years ago when Valmiki chanted the holy name, Maramara he chanted, and then he became a saintly person. He was actually a very cruel highway robber. He became a saintly person. That we heard millions of years ago. So if something has happened millions of years ago, then people take it very lightly. They may say, oh sorry, that's a very old thing. Nowadays I don't see such a thing can happen. But then you see 5,000 years ago, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda danced in the streets of Nadia. They began with Jagai Madai, but they delivered many, many more. You heard about Chandra Rai, one fellow, Nathamudas Thakur delivered. So you hear, many dangerous people have been delivered for the chanting of the holy name. And in one Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, Prabhupada writes, I'll just check it whether I can locate it, if possible. See, in the incarnation of Gaur Nithai, the Lord is not supposed to kill demons, but is supposed to deliver them by preaching Krishna consciousness. In the case of Jagai Madai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so angry that he would have immediately killed them. But Nityananda was so kind that he not only saved them from death, but elevated them to the transcendental position. Thus, what was not possible for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was carried out by Nityananda. Similarly, if one is true to Gaur Nithai service in the disciplic succession, He can even excel Nityananda Prabhu's service. This is the process of disciplic succession. Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madai, but a servant of Nityananda Prabhu by his grace can deliver many thousands of Jagai and Madais. This is the special benediction of the disciplic succession. One who is situated in disciplic succession can be understood by the result of his activities. This is always true as far as the activities of Lord and His devotees are concerned. You see? So you can understand Prabhupada is talking about who? He may not say His name here, but we can understand it from His activities. How many hippies, you know, just 50 years ago from all over the world, people who are eating cow flesh are not eating onion garlic now. They are not even touching it. So, and also Prabhupada created such a wave which is still going on even after He passed away. Different countries. You find Mayapur, 10,000 foreign devotees are there in March for the Gaur Purnima. So, therefore one should consider the miracle that Srila Prabhupada did in such a short 12 years all across the globe. So, this 50 years period is not a very long period. It's a recent period, correct, na? It recently happened and still it's continuing. The miracle is still continuing. See, by the grace of Vishnu, Vaishnava can enter better service than Vishnu. That is special prerogative of Vaishnava. The Lord actually wants to see His servants work more gloriously than Himself. Like that He is saying. And then Prabhupada is quoting example, Hanumanji in Ramayana. Yeah. And then here He is saying in the end, if you simply follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and following the footsteps of Chaitanya Prabhu, Krishna consciousness movement can advance and even more difficult tasks can be performed by the preachers remaining faithful to the service of the Lord. That means a very difficult task can be very easily accomplished. Or duskaram sukaram bhavet tarthur was na? What is that? Katanchanasya smite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet smite Vapritamsya Sri Chaitanya Namamitam. That's one verse. That means very difficult work becomes very easy by remembering Lord Chaitanya. And very easy work becomes difficult without remembering Lord Chaitanya. That's the meaning. So, we have to sometimes sit alone and think about what kind of changes came in Jagai Madai or what kind of changes came in the hippies. And now, 50 years later, what changes are coming in me, in ourselves. What kind of life we were leading before coming to Prabhupada and ISKCON moment. So, certainly Holy Name is doing magic. I have seen one thing personally in my life. Many things were not clear in the early days. When I met my spiritual master first, I remember the tune of Hare Krishna, what he sang. That is very clear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is what he sang. And then after that he spoke almost 20 minutes, one word I don't remember what he spoke. Because you know, I was not listening what he is speaking, I was looking at him, how he looks, what he how he speaks. He's from America, how he remembers things and from Vedas, like that. So, but over the years, you can see that we actually entered this moment in a bewildered state, blinking and looking what is this shikar, what is this tilak, and what is this computer room brahmacharis are sitting, you know, or what is this dancing, they have big kartal, they are banging. So we are seeing different things, and we even suspected whether these guys know Shastra actually or they are just eyewash. They look like sentimental fellows jumping up and down, correct, no? So, from that bewildered state, just see to what state we have come now. You know, now we are ourselves into this movement and we are reading, hearing, chanting with such clarity. So this clarity has come because of chanting the Holy Name. So therefore one should be very grateful because chanting is available so easily, we are taking it very cheaply. You know, one should think, leave alone others' examples, we have to see our own examples. How much clarity of thought, clarity of understanding has come from the Shastra. And the clarity increases more and more as one's chanting becomes inoffensive. More and more it becomes better. Srila Prabhupada ki.